Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. He is in Perth, Western Australia. We're looking at the Red Sea. It is a shooting war, missiles flying, defensive missiles as well as drones, led by the Houthis, who are supplied by Iran. However, it is an economic war. And I read now from Reuters within these last hours out of London. Insurance industry sources said that war risk premiums has risen to around 1% of the value of a ship, up from 0.7 last week, with various discounts applied by underwriters. They added that rates were expected to move higher. The decision to raise the rates has obliged many companies to reroute or to continue to reroute. There's a long list at Reuters of some taking risks, some not, through the Red Sea. The advice by warships in the Red Sea is to avoid certain parts of it. It's a large body of water. However, in these last hours, we also have news that the U.S., and it's working with the U.K., has moved effectively to seize a batch of Iran missiles. This is London reporting. U.S. naval forces have seized the first batch of Iranian weapons components bound for the Houthi rebels. U.S. Central Command Overseas, the Middle East said U.S. Navy SEALs, supported by helicopters and drones, conducted a nighttime seizure of a vessel off the coast of Somalia, south of Yemen. They said it had been illegally transporting weapons parts to the Houthis. A statement said propulsion and guidance systems, as well as warheads for medium-range ballistic and anti-ship cruise missiles, were among the items seized. Air defense components were also seized. From this anecdote, Gregory, it appears that Iran has the skill to resupply the Houthi militia out of Somalia, which itself, of course, is a failed state divided between jihadist forces, and there is Somaliland looking to work with Dr. Abiy in Ethiopia. Your measure now of the U.S. and U.K. opening fire on the Houthis in these last days. Good evening again.
Good evening, John. I think we've got to start reorienting our perspective. Firstly, we talk about the Houthi rebels. Basically, we're talking about the Yemeni forces. These are not a small rebel group. These are now the effective government of North Yemen plus a lot more. So the old government, which was essentially being controlled from Saudi Arabia, is a small group in Aden. So we're looking at Yemen as a whole, as being the resource. And it's not a small country. It's not a country which can be invaded easily. The Egyptians went out with their tail between their legs in the 50s when they tried to invade, because it's a difficult, mountainous country with very, very tough fighting people. They have their own ability to manufacture weapons, including some innovative strike weapons, which were used over the past few years to retaliate against the Saudis. The Saudis were bombarding it from outside the Yemeni borders, both with artillery and missiles with air power. But they were never game to go into Yemen, particularly that North Yemeni area where the group, which was being popularized by the name Houthi, which is a small tribal group within the greater al-Hashimi people, was operating. So this is not a strike at a vulnerable and powerless rebel group. This is a big group with lots and lots of weapons, including cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and other unmanned combat aerial vehicles. So they're quite sophisticated. Their weapons aren't of an order to go up against a major power, but they are sophisticated, and they did a lot of damage inside Saudi Arabia. So they're not going to be deterred by a few strikes from British and U.S. naval power and air power. And the others are joining in the Netherlands and Australia and the like. But this is not going to make a difference. Yes, it will be, there'll be strikes which will be very impressive, and it will make the voters in Britain and the United States and Australia and so on feel as though they've really shown them what's what. But it's not going to make a difference in the war. This is not going to resolve the situation. So the question is, what do you then do about it? And look, diplomacy is going to be exceptionally difficult there. There may be some ability by Western powers to restrict some of the resupply of the Yemeni forces from Iran, but a lot of what's being produced in the weapons arena is being done inside Yemen. The Yemenis and the so-called Houthi are not subject to direct orders from Tehran, although Tehran would like to have more influence over them. But the Iranians have found ways over the past few years of getting lots of supplies into Yemen by air. And the UAE and Saudi Arabia have not been able to stop that. And it's unlikely that they'll be able to stop it again. Yes, you can stop some of the ships coming in by having them stop in the high seas. And we talk, as that U.S. press statement said, they were talking about illegal supplies of weapons from Iran to Yemen. Illegal by whose standards? It's not illegal in terms of sovereign states dealing with each other. We may not like it, and they may be regarded as hostile to the West or hostile to Israel, and indeed, in some respects and many respects, they are. But the question is, we keep bolstering our view on this by giving ourselves the moral high ground, which is fine for bolstering our sense of purpose. But we have to bear in mind that this is a conflict which is far more complex morally as well as militarily than we want to deal with. And we saw a lot of opposition to, while it was happening, to the Saudi and Emirati bombing of the Yemeni rebels in their own country, who were resisting having government imposed on them from Riyadh, for example. The West supported this very barbarous, indiscriminate attacks on Yemeni civilian population for many years. And we forget that this has made a lot of people in Yemen very, very angry at the West, and they're angry now with Saudi Arabia cementing relations with Israel, so they are attacking Israel nominally to support the Palestinians, but basically to punish the Saudis.
Let's update the attacks on Israel. Too simple already, Gregory, and we'll get complicated. This is London Telegraph reporting out of the Ministry of Defense, which has very good information. Iran attacks Israeli spy HQ in Iraq. Israel has not acknowledged or confirmed the target of the attack in Erbil, that's Kurdistan, linked to Mossad, its intelligence agency. At the same time, in Qatar, Doha, where until recently leaders of Hamas were abiding, Qatar condemns coalition airstrikes in Yemen. And a remark from the prime minister in London, Sunak warns Houthis after fresh missile attack. The response from the Houthis is they've vowed to target British ships in the Red Sea. So I've drawn so many lines on my chart here, I can't figure out where the center is. Let's say it's Tehran. Is it significant that Tehran is now directly attacking what it identifies as Mossad HQ in Kurdistan? Does that change the dynamics of what we can now call a wider war at all?
Oh, it certainly does. And in fact, the clerics being drawn in much against their will to direct exposure to both the Israelis and the West. They took a risk by that attack on the Mossad, or the supposed Mossad liaison office in Iraqi Kurdistan. And it will definitely result in some responses from both Israel and from the United States. The problem is for the clerics, how do they contain that? Because if they allow this to escalate, then the clerics are really exposing themselves to danger. They had just achieved a fairly strong economic outlook based on their agreement with Russia to join the Russian-controlled international north-south transport corridor, which linked trade from St. Petersburg in the west on the Atlantic, more or less, and the Baltic and Atlantic, down to the Indian Ocean and across to India. This guarantees Iran a fairly interesting slice of a new economic zone. And if this war that's now underway escalates, it could risk the control of Iran by the clerics. So the question is, how far are they prepared to continue with this brinksmanship? I mean, we tend to blankly ascribe control of the Hamas uprising to Tehran, when in fact there are many more factors, including factors within the Hamas movement itself. And Hamas is part of the broader Muslim Brotherhood political movement, which, by the way, Iran does not enjoy, because it's a Sunni movement, and Iran, of course, is predominantly Shia. But this Muslim Brotherhood approach is supported by Qatar and by Turkey. And I think we have to really understand that Turkey is very much the driver of a lot of this action, and has been supported in this by the People's Republic of China, who were very anxious to see a conflict taking a root in essentially the Euro-Atlantic zone to keep the Western powers, particularly the United States, out of the Indo-Pacific. So there are a lot of factors here. We just keep wanting in our media to simplify everything down to, oh, it's about Iran supporting the Hamas. But it's not as simple as that. So right now, the clerics are not in control of the situation, but they're being dragged more and more into it, and they may lose power as a result, which would make a lot of people very happy, me included, because I used to be an advisor to the Shah of Iran, who they basically destroyed. It's a complex situation. It is going to be a risk for the clerics. It's going to be a difficult escalation for anybody, including the West, to manage.
One detail, Gregory. Does this in any way increase Russia's visibility in the region, or is that just status quo? Does Russia have an advantage here with the Iranian clerics firing missiles at the alleged Israeli HQ?
Well, I think that Russia is not happy about this at all. They don't want anything to jeopardize this new international north-south trading corridor, because it's given Moscow for the first time a strong access into the warm waters of the Indian Ocean, where they hope to build a naval base and trading hub. So they don't want to see this whole thing disrupted. And
they're communicating with Tehran. This is not a good direction then, immediately.
I would say so. And they've attempted to maintain positive relationships with Israel as well.
Gregory Copley is in Western Australia. He's in Perth, at Perth, which is eventually going to be the environment of AUKUS. But we're headed to part of AUKUS. We're headed to Britain, because there is a King Charles report to give, and Gregory's going to help me understand the new photograph given out by the palace that will hang in all the official rooms in all of Britain around the world, a photograph of the King, King Charles III, in his naval uniform with badges and honors. And Gregory will interpret some of it for me. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Rausch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.